Hi, I'm Neil Smith, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast. I'm absolutely delighted today to be joined not only by Matt as usual.
Hello.
But also by manager Neil Smith.
Afternoon.
And our chairman, Robin Stanton-Gleaves.
Good afternoon, all.
Matt, we've got a quite an insightful interview podcast coming up this afternoon.
Yeah, something away from out of the ordinary, isn't it? Something very, very different. And I think we're actually going to start on a common theme between Neil and Robin. And Robin, if you will, to start us off about your upbringing, obviously being a local lad in and around the Bromley area.
Yeah, I think coming back to Bromley Football Club has livened up some old memories of mine. For those that don't know, I was born in Bromley. I was born in Widmore Road in 1968, long time ago now. I grew up in Gilbert Road and then I grew up in London Lane. And we were talking earlier. I grew up in a road that Neil Smith now lives in.
I can say so much. You now live...
I literally live opposite the house that Robin lived in.
In fact, I think I delivered newspapers to your house, Smudge.
Brilliant. Always late they were. Or wet.
But yes, how did I end up at Bromley Football Club, though? I left Bromley when I was 24, 25. Met a girl, like we all do, and I relocated down in Kent, which is where I am now. But to cut a long story short, I 5 years ago, I got diagnosed with a cancer, which was prostate cancer, which pretty much changed my life, because up till then I was fairly hardworking, driven, and in my work. And the illness made me think about life, and I decided to sell the business that was my driving force. And the sale of that business took me on a journey. It was only recently, actually last summer, that I eventually sold it after many transactions. But in 2015, I bumped into Mark Goldberg.
This is brilliant.
And Mark Goldberg, I bumped into him around a swimming pool in La Manga. And the nosy individual that he was, he'd heard me speak on the phone with regard to the negotiation and the sale of my business. And he clearly picked up on some numbers. And he introduced himself as the owner of Bromley Football Club and the development that he was seeking to do. But at the moment, they were in trouble and they needed some money. So I was trying to have a holiday. But obviously, Bromley Football Club, being the town where I'm from, I did listen to him. And I gave him my email address. And I said, look, if you're serious, I promised myself that in my transaction, the sale of my business, I would have some money that I would enjoy and I'd have some fun with. And maybe Bromley Football Club could be that. And lo and behold, I'd say a few days later, but I'm pretty sure it was a few hours later.
I think I remember getting a phone call from Mark, and he rang me up. He said, "Jeff, you won't believe it. You just won't believe who I've managed to bump into." He said, "I'm going to give him your email address. Just drop him an email and just invite himself and his partner to the Millwall friendly. We had the Millwall friendly coming up." And I think he said, "Oh, you know, he sports Millwall." He said, he's going to love it. It's going to be fantastic." He said, "Jeff, honestly, you're not going to believe where this is going to take things." And I love Mark dearly, and I'd probably get similar phone calls every summer previous about three or four years before that, where there was somebody coming down to take over the club and everything. I'm sure Jerry had them all the time, but that's amazing. I actually remember getting that phone call from Mark saying, "Could you drop this gentleman an email and invite him to the Millwall game?" And obviously from that game,
I think, you know, to cut a long story short, from that game I came down, I met John, I met an individual called Rob Kay, who's another character on the journey, and I obviously met Jerry. And the new guys around the table. And I don't mind admitting, you know, from perhaps it just being a business punt or a little bit of sentiment to give the club some money to keep them afloat. I clearly caught the bug. As you mentioned, Jeff, by trade, I'm a Millwall fan. That was my family team. But my sport is really cricket. You know, that's what I follow. That's what I enjoy. I like the psychology of the game. I like the athleticism of the game. And I like the strategy of the game. But after two visits to Bromley, I have to be honest, I caught the bug. And I could see an energy around the club, and I could see some good people that had the same intention of wanting to do something. And I felt I could make a difference. So rather than just donate the money, I said, well, let's get involved. And at the time, Jerry was the chairman and owner. John had an interest, and I became a third party. And I became a member of the board and started to get involved.
It's amazing, because obviously John's not here, but even John's little story himself, his involvement started as a at Network as a local company and getting involved as a sponsor. And then his younger son ended up playing for the youth section. And then that's how he got involved with Jerry, etc. Again, just like you, I think, caught the bug. I'm sure ended up thinking he was assisting in some way, small financially, and then ended up obviously part of the board with yourselves. And it's amazing, like you say, there is something about this place. Which obviously, once you do come down, you're involved. That definitely hooks you. Obviously, so much for your story. Obviously, growing up, and you've had obviously an amazing career before Bromley FC. But for those who aren't unaware, obviously your career before Bromley and how you ended up getting involved.
Yeah, so I lived in Bromley. I went to Burntash, which was on the Downham estate. Then went to Ravensbourne, which was across the road. Was very lucky enough to my PE teacher that probably taught Robin as well, Keith Walden, was at Tottenham at the time. And he got me a trial down at Tottenham. I ended up signing them schoolboys, apprenticeship, then professionally. Then went on to Gillingham, Fulham, Reading, won promotions at every one of the clubs. And then took a turn to go into semi-professional football with Woking.
Smudge, can I just interrupt you there? Yeah. Every club you're at, you won a promotion.
Yeah.
I was waiting for Hammo to come storming through the doors.
Yep.
just thought I'd pick up on that.
Yep. And I'm going to keep that hopefully going.
Oh,
no, so, yeah, we had successes and then went to Woking, had five fantastic years there, you know, had family as well, come back to Bromley after, you know, moving to Blackheath for a little while. And, went into Woking, was given the caretaker job to keep them up, which we did. I successfully kept them up, was offered the job, to which then they took away from me at the last minute and gave it to someone else. I then went to manage Welling, but while I was managing Welling in the same division as Bromley, this name will keep cropping up, I'd imagine, but Mark Goldberg had spoken to me before a game that we were playing Bromley out here in a League Cup.
I remember that.
Yeah. And
Santa Shields.
That's right.
We haven't had a League Cup for ages.
No.
It didn't happen after that.
Yeah, and he went before the game. I was having chats with Welling. I wasn't happy with everything that they'd promised and wasn't happening, la, la, la. And before the game, he just said, look, if you ever felt you were going to leave, I'd like you here. I went, okay. We ended up winning. I was going to hand in my resignation, to which I spoke to Mark the next morning and he'd already done it. He'd gone.
He went.
He handed his resignation after the game that we'd played against him because we'd beaten him. Lloyd Blackman, ex-Bromley, hadn't scored for me all season, scored the winner. So whereas I thought I was going to hand in my resignation and come in to Bromley as a coach or player coach of some sort, Mark had already left.
How so incredible that story could have started years earlier.
Absolutely. So I carried on there with Stuart Nevercott, and then I made the decision that I was going to leave. So I handed in my resignation, and Bobby Bowery then phoned up and said, I'd like you to come here. So I come into Bromley as a player stroke coach, but more player, with Bobby Bowery and Simon Osborne. And that lasted for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. I've been involved in a couple of games, and then Grays Athletic had come in and asked me to be the first team coach in conference. So, you know, I remember saying, yeah, give me an excuse not to go. To which there wasn't one. The money, you know, they could save a bit of money on a senior player.
Really position, but
yeah,
we just got promoted from the
absolutely.
Premier.
That's right.
Conference South was going to be this holy grail, and all the crowds are going to.
This was going to be the league. Yeah, no one ever thought about going higher than Conference South because that was local, no travel, blah blah blah. And so I took the Greys because they were in the conference, and did my bit there. Subsequently, then went on to different clubs and always kept in contact with Mark. through the whole of this, and he always, he's funny, Mark, he has a dream and somehow it always seems to come true. But he said, look, we're going to work together. And then obviously the betting scandal that happened at Croydon, because I was at Croydon Athletic with the chairman who was...
How funny, talk about connections, cricket.
Yeah, so the, one of the biggest betting scandals in the history of cricket, and somewhere in my world, I'm involved. Yeah. You know, one minute you're at football, then...
Because the ringleader was the owner of...
That's it, Mr. Majid, yep. He was the player's agent who was obviously got caught. So I left there, and then Mark said, come into Bromley. So I come into Bromley as his first team coach, assistant manager, with obviously Murray Jones. And I come in and work for the club, working in the footballing community, going around the schools, handing out flyers, doing a bit of PE, doing just to be in and amongst the club. Then that progressed to the full-time assistant manager, still doing, you know, the schools. But then we started up an academy, so I was the academy coach. Wasn't the academy manager, but I was the academy coach helping out while I was the first team assistant manager. So, you know, when you were finishing here, go home, have a bit of tea, then you were coming back for training, to then obviously getting the job when what happened to Mark. And I think Robin's already said it, there's something about the club that once you do come in, you don't want to go. You know, I'm now into my, I think it's the 10th year, and love every minute of it. And where the progression of this club has come from, you know, I know I did it in the program, the BT program, but we were training in parks, finding somewhere to train on a Tuesday or Thursday night, scratching around.
I genuinely remember having to come up. We had two little pitches. We had a 7-a-side and a 5-a-side pitch at the time behind the old benches end. And I genuinely remember having to come up and tell Smudge that, unfortunately, the under-15s had already booked this pitch.
No, it was the under-11s. I had an 11-year-old kid. Was standing at the gates entrance, and he went, we're training here. And I went, no, you haven't, son. I said, it's Thursday night, the first time we're on this pitch. He went, no, we're definitely on here. I went, no. And then the dad came out and went, yes, we have, we've paid. To which we had to get off the biggest of the smallest five-a-side pitches you'll ever see to go on the smallest five-a-side with 20 players. And that's where the club was, you know, if they paid their money, they come as a priority.
Well, £60, yeah,
to the first team. So we had to then do a training session on the pitch next door. That was, you know, to get 20 players on that pitch was unbelievable. So you do the best you can, you know, try and make it as enjoyable for the player, obviously a little bit embarrassed, but knowing that we're going to try and get a result and we're doing our best. And Del Parnham, who used to be the goalkeeping coach, might not have been out of getting to one of the five-a-side pitches, would do his goalkeeping down the tunnel.
Well, that when it snowed and everyone still had to come in because they had to clear.
Yeah, we had to clear the pitch. We had to sweep up the pitches with the kids. You know, we've done a lot. And then Brian would have a brainwave of, no, let's water it. And so we had about 4 inches of snow on the pitch. We're all shoveling it up and putting it in a bin. If you ever try to carry water around in a bin, it gets heavier. So we went, no, you're doing it all wrong. Water the pitch. We went, water it? He went, yeah, watch, it dissolves. 2 hours later, we got an ice rink. Can't train on it, not because of the snow. It's just full of ice. But cheers, Brian. And it's all these little stories that what we had to do to get a team out on a Saturday and to do the best we can to stay in the Conference South to where we are now full time. We've got, you know, I'm sitting here watching the our girls academy playing Lewis Academy, which we didn't have, and you know that was something we'd always wanted to do, and drive women's football and girls football to having our own training facility at the back, full size pitch, 9-a-side pitch, and being in the Conference and being in, you know, in a great position today, you know, knowing how far we've come in that short space of time. And you know, Robin, you're seeing this at first hand. You've got supporters here that do support this club, and you know it's up to us to, or myself especially with the first team, to make sure they spread the word and keep people coming into this place, because I think once they do come in, there's a connection there straight away.
And Robin, you've now taken on the role of chairman of Bromley Football Club. What's your vision for this club moving forward?
I think I want to try and break the mould of what we have seen in recent weeks with regard to football clubs. I think it's a shame to see clubs like Bolton Wanderers in the position they are. The demise of Bury. And I would imagine they're not the last ones. And football is the national game. It's in many people's blood. but it's being run in a manner that suits the top clubs because of the players, the excitement of the play, the grandness of the teams. But as a national sport, the lower end clubs, I think, are suffering. And the ones that are getting through based on the how wealthy their owners are. And I might fall into that bracket, but I don't necessarily agree with it. So what's my vision, Matt? My vision is to create Bromley as a sustainable club with or without RSG. I hope it's always with me. I have to say that. But my vision is to always plan and operate as if I wasn't here. So that means, obviously, as a football club today, it loses money. So my first job is to find a way of it breaking even, but maintain the standard of quality on the pitch. You can break even tomorrow, but you can have a lesser player. Well, that's not what I'm about. In fact, I want to increase the quality of player and make the football club break even, and then eventually make money. But I don't believe you will do that through football. If I look at other businesses across the world, well, there is no business that operates on a Saturday afternoon and a Tuesday night every other week. And think about that. That's where the income of football clubs come from. A Saturday afternoon and a Tuesday night every other week. I'm involved in a number of businesses that I own. We are 24/7, or we are 9 to 5, 5 days a week. That's what we are. Mm-hmm. And yet football clubs are trying to pretend that they can operate on those few hours on a Saturday and those few hours on a Tuesday night. So for me, at Bromley, we've got to create an environment where there is enough income opportunities that feeds the football club, that then feeds the football. As an example, you know, supporters can see the new stand. We've built the new stand and we've given 1,500 seats undercover for people to enjoy the game. But behind there is an area on two floors that will be rented out commercially. The rental income from that will increase the revenue in the football club by about 28 to 29%. So the revenue in the football club increases by that value, but it's got nothing to do with football. It's the commercial lease or renting out of that area that brings the football club own the land. Yes, I've funded the build, but the rental income comes into the football club. That's just one end of the football pitch.
Yeah.
We're lucky as a football club, we own the freehold. We've got another end, and we've got two sides of the main stand. And my vision, Matt, to answer your question, is that using the land and using some business acumen, we think of ideas that produce commercial opportunities that feed revenues and income into the football club. So it's sustainable outside of football. And as we increase those revenues and profits, we can supply more money to Neil as a budget of players. The quality of player goes up, and we continue to improve and increase our quality on the pitch as well as our revenues off the pitch. That's my vision.
Pretty clear there, then.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Just touching on that south stand, I don't think you can fully explain just what a difference that's made to the match day experience.
For both
of the players on that subject. Also, I talk about family members who attend the game, etc., and the increase in crowds we've already seen. I think our average, even at the moment on the games we've had so far compared to last season, I think we're at sort of 450 higher average than we were at this point last season, which is a fantastic achievement so far. And we've still got the likes of Notts County and sides like that to play, which is testament to everything that's been done so far. But obviously the players as well, there must be a different atmosphere is often talked about, and we've clearly lost it over. I think fans will agree as well, and I think the change came from when we were promoted from the Conference South and you couldn't drink on the terrace anymore, and I think with the lower numbers we needed that almost alcohol fueled fan in a way to get the crowd going and start the music, start the chants and that. And I think clearly somewhere along the way we've sort of lost that, and obviously we've got a younger generation of fan coming in now, and honestly, first half of games, when you look in that stand and you see it almost completely full, and you've seen the noise when the goal's going in, it must make a massive difference to yourselves in the dugout and the players on the pitch.
To get the players here, first and foremost, we bring all the players that we've signed recently to this ground and show them, for me, you know, that stand, and that shows them where this club wants to go. You know, they come here, they see the pitch, they see the stadium, they see the plans for the future, they see that stand, and they've joined that journey on hopefully, you know, being successful, because they can see what the club's trying to do off the pitch. When they're actually playing and that is full up, there's only one way that noise can go, because of the, you know, it's being so high. He's back out onto the pitch. Yeah. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the players are lifting themselves. And when it is going against them, they keep going because the crowd have been getting behind them all together. Whereas they might have been spread around and everything else, to be behind that goal, cheering us on and getting behind us, I think it's made it a massive difference. And, you know, that's without exaggerating it. It really has. There's an atmosphere around this club. You can hear it, you can feel it. There's an energy. And we've got to make sure that we keep that momentum going. But, you know, that stand, that's why the players have come here. They've seen that stand go up. They've seen the plans of what we're trying to do and where we want to go to. And they've joined that. They're joining that journey and believe in that journey, because they can see what's already around here.
Fantastic. I've covered more than I expected in a short space of time than I thought. So, Matt, have you got anything to...
Yeah, so, Robin, I just wanted to touch on, you mentioned the figures and the people that you met when you came into the club, and they're very important going forwards. I'm thinking of the likes of John Plassard and Jerry and how this club's going to progress.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was announced that I, as of August the 1st, I own the club and I take on the role as a chairman. But... That's just a semantic. The football club's run by the board of directors, and I just happen to lead those people. And John Plassard came in at a time. He's a better person to answer this question, but he came in at a time that needed some finances looking at. By trade, he's a finance director. If you don't know that, that's where his journey is. That's where his success comes from. And he sorted out some financial issues within the club. He put the football club into a position that it could go forward with. He invested as well. And like me, he has the football club's interests very much at heart. Very much at heart. He's my vice chairman. So he's certainly... there's nothing I do or think about that I don't talk to him about. Or indeed, talk to Jerry about, and David Waller, who are the other two people that sit on the board. If I talk about David Waller first before I come to Jerry, you know, David was formerly the chairman of the board. You know, he used to host the meetings. Again, like the rest of us, when the club had some challenges, he invested money in at times. And like John, if David hadn't invested those monies at times, I don't think this football club would be where it is today. So I think, you know, it's important to remember what those people have done in the past, and they still want to stay here and help it on its journey going forward. And then, of course, there's Jerry, and I don't expect you can talk about Jerry without mentioning Julia. You know, they came into this club many years ago. If you cut either of their bodies open, you'll see the blood flowing through, and it says Bromley. And Jerry will, you know, it's far better equipped than I am to talk about the stories that of keeping this club alive. But I know some of the investment he's made over the years personally in order for the club to continue. It's probably cost his financial wealth in some areas, but equally he's been the heartbeat of this place. He loves it, and although he's not chairman, he's going to operate as, you know, as he always has done, you know, loving it and looking after it the way he does. He's Mr. Football. He's Mr. Non-League Football. And so his continuous operation within the club is vital, both from his local contacts and his years of being at the club.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I think, like you say, Jerry's enthusiasm obviously hasn't deteriorated or changed over the whole time that I've known him, even through the failed takeover and everything that happened. And like you say, the fact that, strange how events in life bring people together and everything like that, but when I've been privileged enough to be in those meetings and you look round the table and you have David, yourself, Jerry and John, you know, you're thinking how fortunate are we? I'm not saying just because you're here, I said something to Jerry, you know, just how fortunate are we to have a group of people, you know, at the top of this organisation? You know, I'm sure, Neil, you know, when it comes to your budget and it comes to the support you need, you know, even little things that you've implemented over the last few years with the fitness side of it and the nutrition and everything like that, you know, you're at the point where we're able to, you know, have the bigger ideas, very often we've, you know, you try and your utmost to work within your means, etc., and those means have been very, very limited in the past. However, you know, not that there's an open checkbook in any way whatsoever. The sheer fact that actually we're now maybe able to ask for that help or that support or that next thing that we think we might need to be able to assist us to take to that next stage, even if it's a new desk in the office.
Yeah, you get one of them. But no, what's always as a manager and obviously coming into it after Mark, there were times when we were under pressure. There were times when we hadn't got results. We'd come out of the cup and stuff like that. And the best thing that's from last season was not being put under pressure. It was having the support of how can we help? I think at some clubs they put you under pressure. This is it, and get a crack on with it. It's not working. Crack on with it. It ain't working. Crack on with it. Whereas here, you can ask questions. You can ask if, you know, we can do something. There's advice. There's help, because everybody here wants the same goal. You know, and I don't think it's any coincidence that this season we've changed the squad. We've brought in who we believe are better players with the ones that we've kept. And I think together, everybody wants the same thing. They want that success. And I think while you're all pushing in the same direction, you've got more chance. And with the help of the supporters as well, getting behind us as a club last season, I've always said it's easy supporting a team when they're doing well, because that's easy. The time when the players need it, when I've needed it, is when it hasn't gone well. It was there last year where we were in difficult circumstances, but you felt like you had everybody's support. There was no pressure put on you. And I think all that wants you to do even more is to repay that faith, repay that support. And, you know, like this season, that this is our chance to repay all that from last season. Even though we finished 12th this time last year, I think, you know, we weren't doing so great. And people may have been worrying and a little bit nervous, but you didn't feel like you had that nervousness being put on you. And I think with the likes of David Waller, who after every game emails me, well done, unlucky. Yeah, all those things, you know. Robin phones me every morning, tell me where I went wrong, what I should have done. I told you so. And even when we've done well, it was, yeah, thank you, Robin. You were right. No, it is. It's really good. And like you said, the board are very close to the management and the players. So there's not a hierarchy of people that are untouchable. And I think that's what this club brings to everybody. You can speak to everybody at this club. The players are available, the management are available, the staff, everybody's pulling in the same direction. The directors stand in the bar afterwards, and the board with the supporters drinking. And I think that's what makes this club so special, that everybody is available, good or bad, win or lose, for a pint afterwards, shake your hand, well done, could have done better. And I think you won't get that at very many other clubs. And I think that's what makes us so unique.
Like you say there, the fact that everyone's got that same goal, driving towards the same goal, etc. I mean, to obviously clarify that, and I guess maybe to look at it from a personal point of view, Smudge, you're a manager, like you say, you've had the pleasure of managing the conference before, you've been on your own journey, playing career, etc. And same on the managerial and where we are now, and obviously you, I'm sure, want to manage, you know, at that highest level possible. Obviously, Robin, for yourself, you're a businessman. You want to be successful in anything that you take part in and are involved in. And obviously, we're fortunate enough for you to be involved at this football club at that time. And you're going to obviously want this club to be promoted and to carry on and go as far as it can do. And not that we need to touch it, because we mentioned before the 3G pitch. That's not an obstacle. We made that very clear. Obviously, just to touch on that and how far you feel that you're able to, you know, get behind. And
if I just go backwards on that, just touch on the 3G pitch. We've always said the 3G pitch is part of generating revenues outside of the Saturday afternoons and Tuesday nights. But be under no illusion, if he pulls it off this year and we go up,
precious.
We've already found somewhere for that pitch to go. Fantastic. And the grass will be put down. And those that have seen the new water sprinklers, you know, that we got in from home base.
Seen them. I think I've been hit by them, but I don't know. I know.
But their purpose for grass. So yeah, there's an indication.
It's future-proofing, yeah.
There's an indication that, yes, they're watering this surface, but they're factual future-proof for when we put the grass down. But to answer your other question, Jeff, you know, the journey of getting here, there's an irony that I sit opposite the table with Neil Smith. I think we spoke about it earlier, might have been a little bit offline, but Neil and I went to the same school together. You know, we didn't know each other because in school years, we're 3 years apart. And that's a long time at school. But he lives in the road that I grew up in. We went to the same school together. I get involved in a football club and he's my manager. And I don't know if there's a little bit of destiny in there. Now, I'm not a romantic at heart because everything has to make sense in my world. But if I was to allow myself a little bit of romance, well, it's sort of there, really.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, you mentioned about the teacher that inspired you and took you to Tottenham. Yes, he was my games teacher.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
What's that about?
No, and the teachers still come in. Mr. Rack, Mr. Atkins, all the same teachers that we were probably taught by come down because they were always supporting Bromley. And I do... You tempt fate, you hope that fate's there sometimes and maybe this is it, you know. If that gives us the edge over everybody, that little bit of fate, then I'm going to take it. Exactly. I'll sign him.
You know, I think Neil's, to answer your question about ambition, I think Neil's doing a fabulous job. I think you're right, what happened last year where we were 16th and maybe even been lower at some point. I think your reaction in November to the players you signed, the type of player you signed, the way you managed them and brought them in, you even had a bit of bad luck with Zavon. And then you upped your type of player from then on. I don't think it's any coincidence that you learnt from what you were unable to do in the previous summer to what you've done this summer to where you are today. How do I see Neil Smith? You know, I look at him now. Well, yesterday I read about Danny Cowley, who got the job as Huddersfield Town manager, ex-Premier League. I'm sure Neil's got that ambition. And if he hasn't, he's the wrong bloke because he should have that ambition.
Yeah.
Unfortunate, in my trade, I hit the highest point possible. And my role here isn't about my trade. My role here is to take this football club into League Two. And when I get into League Two, my role will be to take this football club into League One. And I believe that I can do it. I believe financially, with the infrastructure we have and the development that I can put into it, I believe we can do it and be sustainable with or without my help. And the major part of that is the bloke that's sitting opposite me. I believe we can do it because of him. Now, he has that same ambition. I'll let him comment on it. But he wants to be a manager in League Two. He wants to be a manager in League One. He wants to be a manager in the Premier League. That's his trade. And if he doesn't have that ambition, then I'm going to kick him up the arse.
No, I do.
Of course, and you must have.
Yeah.
But I want you to be here for as long as you can on the journey with me, taking Bromley into League Two, into League One, and then who knows?
Yeah. Like I said, I wanted to take this club to Wembley and I achieved it. I want to take this team into the league, this club, and I genuinely believe I can do it. If and when, that's to be seen, but I want to do it. I also want to, like you say, I want to manage in the league. Whenever I've done anything, so playing, I wanted to play at the best of my ability. I wanted to get to the highest level. I went to Tottenham, I was against a load of people because I was coming from South London into North London. What are you doing here? I had to battle against all of that. I'll battle against anything to achieve it. This club does something to you, but at the same time, as a personal goal, I do want to manage at the highest level. I look at Gareth Southgate. I used to play against him. No. And it's brilliant for him to do what he's done because he wasn't out there. He wasn't a successful manager in the league. He never won a load of stuff. He was just very good. Found the Cowleys. I think he's an unbelievable story. Years ago, we were playing against them, against Braintree, our bogey team, Concord Rangers.
Yeah.
And to see what they've achieved at Lincoln and then obviously going on to Huddersfield, that's fantastic. And that gives you the dream that it's achievable. Of course I want to. But my first and foremost is let's get this club into the league.
Good man.
As soon as we can.
Good man.
It's to talk about the Cowleys. Obviously, Lincoln are prime examples of what's possible once you do get out of this league. I think, like you say, this league's got harder and harder with every single season that's gone on, and people can compare it to League Two and that. But you look at the likes of Tranmere Rovers, Lincoln, everybody, Matt,
and Notts County now,
who's gone up, who have gone up, ended up going up to League Two and have gone up again. Yeah, you know, have gone up again.
Yes,
and Forest Green as well, doing very well in League Two.
On the door, aren't they? Yeah. Forest Green are back up there.
Yeah. No, and I think the reason is, I think teams in that League Two become lazy because all they want to do is stay in that division.
There's no
ambition.
And
I can't see why they haven't tried to bring three up and make it more competitive to get promotion, because every team in this division wants to get out of this division into the league. That's why it's so tough. So in League Two, you've got to come third from bottom to stay safe.
I think myself and Robin had a conversation regarding this, with regards to the fact, obviously, now Bury are gone. Obviously, that there's another league position there. You would have thought that now is the ideal time for the National League to be knocking on the door.
Totally agree. Saying another team go up.
This is a time where.
But what happens? I think Robin's just said it. More teams in this division try and be sustainable through themselves, rather than we're in League Two and we're going to get this money every year. They don't try and make a business out of their club. As you say, Tuesday and Saturday nights or days is the only time they get anybody at that club. This club is used all day, every day. And that not only is great financially, but it gets the people to Bromley Football Club. So they know they've got their local club here. As I say, we've got the girls out here now. They've just come on after our under-18s have just finished a game, and there'll be another game after this. But these bring these girls now come and watch us. Our players now come and watch us. They're new supporters to Bromley Football Club, and I don't think enough teams in the leagues above are trying to do that. They're just used to doing the same, and that none of them have thought about or got outside the box and said, "How can we make this more sustainable?"
I think you're right. I think the financial gulf between just being in the league alone compared to what we get given at the start of the season from the National League for being in the league compared to what you get in League Two already. They've already got such a head start already, you know, in their setup. And yet you look at the costs, travelling costs, we go up and we're all over the country. You know, you only have to look at the FA Trophy run and stuff like that to see we're already incurring those travel costs, etc. Clearly there's a budget difference between League Two and the National League. But again, I think it's definitely at the lower level of League Two that seems to be closing, because they're just not generating the money themselves.
But also the teams that come down don't go straight back up again.
100%.
Because they find how tough it really, really is.
Look at Chesterfield. I look at that league table. And
Leighton Orient in the first year really, really struggled, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, but it takes them. They've got time to, you know, they've got to find their feet and everything else, but they've got the players. They haven't changed their players from who were playing in the league. I think this league is so, you know, very competitive. Anyone at this moment in time can beat anybody. And I think, you know, what they don't get in League Two is that competition. Because if you're not in the top eight and you're 18th, it doesn't matter, because you're not going to come
just got to be
down.
Third from bottom, aren't you? Yeah.
And what sort of ambition is that, just to come third from bottom?
I don't know about anybody else around the table, but the only team I can think of that did bounce straight back up was the Cheltenham Town side under Gary Johnson. And I think that's the only example I can remember in recent years. Just goes to show what a competitive league it is and how the standard is just increasing
every
year.
You talk about how tough it is. What was that stat we saw earlier about the top seven from last season?
None of them are in the top.
I think out of the top seven last season, the ones who didn't get promoted, none of them are currently in the top 10 this season.
I think that's it, yeah.
Good.
Let's keep it that way.
Exactly. Just keep telling me that.
Obviously, touching on this season so far, and what are we, 9, 10 games in?
10, yeah.
Obviously, we sit where we are. I think if I ask you, Neil, it's joint second. If I ask Robin, it's third.
Well, I'm a factual man.
But I start with you, Robin. Obviously, your view on the opening 10 games so far and the squad that Neil's assembled and what you're witnessing in front of your eyes.
I think, listen, it's outstanding. I don't want him to get ahead of himself, but it's way above our expectation at this stage. I think Neil came down to my house in the summer. We had a conversation about the DNA of his team. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And I said to him, I said, what I'd like to see, I'd like the DNA of your team to be hard to beat. I want them to be workers. I said, doesn't matter how talented somebody is, but if they give it their all,
absolutely,
there's no excuse that they didn't try their best. Mm. My dad, bless his heart, all he ever said to me, because I wasn't that bright at school, all he ever said to me was, son, as long as you've done your best, that's okay with me.
Yeah.
And as long as you tried your hardest. Well, you can't ask for more than that. Then if you sign a player with some talent and he tries his hardest, you might just get a result.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we spoke about.
Yeah.
And I said to Neil, I said, make that the DNA of your team. Make them a hard-working team. Make them hard to be broken down. Make them hard to be beaten. Well, I think you might listen to me.
I did on that one.
Because 10 games in, to answer your question, Jeff, I'm over the moon. You know, it is going to... We're going to get beat at some point. And I'd love it to carry on as long as it can. And I'm sure Neil's now thinking, right, how do we get this through September? As he should do, because he's the football manager. But to be where we are now is tremendous. There's something I've always said to people, though, in my business world. I'm not a football man, but in my business world, I've always used this phrase. It's really easy to get to the top. It's even harder staying at the top.
100%.
And that's the job you've got now. Yeah. So I'm over the moon, Jeff, and I'm really proud to be in charge of a club that's sitting third in the league or joint second, depending who you're talking
joint
to.
Joint second.
But I think the hard work starts now.
Yeah, which is what I'm chuffed to bits with these boys. I've said it on numerous occasions now after games. You know, I've learnt so much about them in these first 10 games, the desire, the attitude, the will to win, the will to play for each other, and I'm going to keep demanding it. You know, we've not cracked anything. We don't think we've made it. We don't think we've, this is it. It's going to be harder now because every team now wants to beat Bromley Football Club.
And that's something you and the players relish, isn't it?
I relish it. It means we're successful. I'd rather that than everyone wants to beat you because you're bottom of the league. I'd rather be everyone wanting to come for you because of where you are in the top end of that division. As I said, what pressure have I got? We're sitting third. It's the best pressure in the world, rather than being down the bottom like we were this time last year. But it's harder because now you are everybody's target. You know, and being unbeaten is amazing, absolutely amazing. To go through the whole of August, the amount of games that we played, not being defeated, but we know every team now wants to be the first one to beat us. And I don't doubt that from Eastleigh on Saturday. But we'll make it bloody hard for them to try and beat us, you know. And Robin said it, and I remember the conversation. And I think we have got a DNA that says, you know, we won't give up. To come back in the 94th minute,
Dagenham
and Redbridge. You go a goal down, and within 10 seconds, we've gone a goal up again. And I think you're just seeing a belief in those boys. But the belief
How is Cheek?
Cheek is okay. He's coming in tomorrow. His eyes, there was no break, no fracture. Swelling's going down. He's coming in tomorrow. We'll just assess him then. But that just showed the bravery of the boy, to actually score the goal how he did. Whether there was a challenge or not was amazing, let alone getting clumped afterwards.
But even though he scored it all?
No, he didn't. I think Paul said to him when he came off.
No, the physio said, oh, you scored it, did I?
Yeah. But Neil, it's testament, isn't it, and character of the side to put their bodies on the line for each other and for the management.
You've seen it, diving in front of the ball right at the end. Mark O'Coy winning the head as he was with 30 seconds to go. Jack Holland, who's come on as a sub as a centre forward, I put him on because what they were looking for was a free kick or a corner. And the last 10 seconds, he's winning the header. You know, that's as good as you're going to get. And I think there's competition for places. Everybody wants to play. You're doing well, and that's just the nature of the beast. But like Robin said, we're not getting carried away. We've got a long, long way to go. You know, we're coming up to being a quarter through the season, and if we can sustain where we are, then it's amazing. But we know it's going to be very, very tough.
And that obviously over 2,100 here on Saturday to watch us take on Chesterfield, absolutely fantastic. Great to see so many people get behind us. Obviously Notts County next Saturday, we're going to need everyone's support for that one as well.
Absolutely, yeah, it's a very, very big side, and a game we'll go into with confidence, I think, given how we've played.
It sounds
this
like
season.
An FA Cup fixture.
Crazy, isn't it?
You know, I was saying to someone the other day to drive up the drive, and you've got Notts County there, and it doesn't say FA Cup.
Yeah,
you know, first round is amazing, but we want we want the numbers to turn out. Mm. You know, that was amazing on Saturday, 2,000 of our own supporters. But, you know, we want that sustained now. We want that every week getting behind us. It really, 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 you know, gives the boys a lift to come out to that noise and that atmosphere before a game.
We have made it an initiative in the club, and we'll come up with a sort of a target 2,000. But the target here is to have week in, week out for a home game, 2,000 as a gate.
Definitely, yeah.
And that's one of our objectives within the club. You guys know it around the table. Yeah. We need to share it to everyone as much as we can. Success on the field always breeds absolutely people coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we can also provide the facility that they can watch the game, enjoy the game, you know, have a drink when needed, have something to eat when needed, that all helps. But if we can get this football club to, our first target is to 2,000 spectators, you know, game in, game out.
Yeah.
That's the current target we've set ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible. Like you say, to see that stand full up on Saturday, you know, 1,400, however many seats of it, like you say, it's just completely... It's really bizarre. Sometimes you just stop and you have to take it in. You can't quite...
Even when it's empty, Jeff, we're walking past just standing, taking it in.
You do stop sometimes. You do. And like you say, the girls, we're in the boardroom looking out the window and the girls' academy are out there playing now on that surface, on the stadium pitch, in front of that stand. It's...
Haven't finished. You know, there's another stand to go. And following this, I have a meeting with my planning man and the builder, and we're looking at the next project, which will, you know, be... exposed in due course, and hopefully give the same sort of feeling that you're feeling about that south stand.
Absolutely. A lot of people listening will potentially, some of the old school may panic and think, oh, it's going to be an all-seater, or is there going to be terracy left over? Obviously, we had numerous conversations about this.
I am 51 years old, so and I'm a little bit ancient in my viewpoint. I actually think you should stand and watch football.
Fantastic.
You know, so don't worry. You know, I don't think it's till the championship that we have to worry about an all-seater stadium.
Brilliant.
So the next development, I hope, planning allowing, will certainly be to improve the stadium, but it'll be with the modern style of terracing.
Fantastic. I think that's about it, Matt.
Yeah, pretty much
it is,
yeah.
Neil, can't thank you enough. Thank you so much.
No, I'd just like to say thank you and, you know, as I say, spread the word.
And thank you, Robin. It's been great to hear from you as well.
No, it's been a pleasure. And I think we all should wish Neil and the lads the greatest success for the next 10 games. Don't get carried away. You know, I know you look at it one game at a time, but I look at it month by month.
Yeah.
And first month down, outstanding. Mm-hmm. And good luck for the month of September.
Thank you.
And that all starts, doesn't it, with a trip to Eastleigh on Saturday the 14th. Details on the website for that one, bromleyfc.co.uk. If you can't make it, we'll be bringing you live commentary as well, courtesy of two of myself, Cookie and Jeff. And we'll obviously be providing the Twitter updates as well. Well, I was going to drop it in there, but yeah.
And then obviously after that, Notts County at home, just like we said, look, to get over 2,100 on Saturday against Chesterfield. I think they're hoping to bring between sort of 300 and 500. I think they brought 470 to Sutton the other day.
Yeah.
Obviously not as nice ground, so I'm sure Notts County fans are looking forward to that one. And like I said, I'm really confident we're going to be able to break through that 2,500. I really hope everyone's listening. I'm sure the majority of you have already downloaded the poster from the website and displayed it in shop windows.
What a great response so far.
If you haven't seen that on social media, it's been great. All the companies, sponsors, supporters who have been putting up the poster in their windows and taking photos and sending them to us just so we can say thank you, show a bit of appreciation. And we're going to put some of them in the programme as well, just to raise the profile a bit of those companies and people that have supported us. So a big thank you to those who have. And if you haven't, go onto the website, bromleyfc.co.uk, and please do, whether it's your workplace, your school, your college, business, shop window, wherever, just help us spread the word. Just putting up that poster makes such a difference. And we've seen our average crowd go up already this season, and no doubt a hell of a lot of that is down to Neil and the boys and the fantastic run they're on being unbeaten. But I think everyone listening knows that everybody can play their small part, and whether it's a family member, friends, it'd be fantastic to see as many of you down here on Saturday. I'm not quite sure how we're going to beat this podcast next week.
No, I think I mean
Ammo wants to come on. That's going to lower it a bit. Maybe we can get John or something. That might up the level.
Yeah, John would be good. Yeah, right. Wow. What can I say?
A big thank you to everybody who's downloaded and listened to this. Please share it with everybody. It'd be great to get as many listeners as possible. Like Matt said, we'll be live on the commentary on Saturday at Eastleigh. If not, we'll see you on Saturday the 21st at home to Notts County. Thank you. There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from.
In Bromley, in Bromley.